Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. You know, it's one thing to address and minimize like fear, anxiety, and stress in our patients, but we also want to do it for our staff and our doctors and the team. And so joining us from our friends at Heart and Paw, we're going to be chatting with you need the word the in front of your name, George. So Dr. George Melillo is with us. How are you?
Good. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. So a little bit about Dr. Melillo. He's a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. So we got to give insert pause, dramatic effect for anyone that's listening. Shout out to UPenn. And he is the co-founder and chief veterinary officer, brings more than 35 years of veterinary experience to Heart and Paw. He co-founded it, bringing to life his lifelong commitment to animals and the people who serve them. Heart and Paw is now one of the fastest growing veterinary care, grooming, and doggy daycare center groups in the country, with a mission to become partners in pet parenthood, helping four-legged family members to live a longer, healthier, and happy life. And, you know, one of the things that I like talking about this when we have kind of like this 360 approach of taking care of everyone, let's first start on the veterinarians, because, you know, I'm 6 foot four. So I'm just going to give you a little background to this is, I really struggled in surgery because of my height. I still, to this day, I have really bad back problems from it, from dentistry, getting in there and doing those carnasal extractions. The table only went so high. I really had a hard time with it. So, you know, what are some things that you can talk about to veterinarians to provide some like physical comforts to veterinarians?
Yeah, I mean, I think we really took a holistic look at how to eliminate stress or minimize stress in the veterinary setting. And for the team members, the veterinarians, that was kind of critical. So we've kind of leveraged equipment, things like just tables that have more flexibility in the ability to adjust them. Sitting there, you know what it's like doing dental extractions. So we actually, in our hospitals, we're using ergonomic chairs that actually position the clinician to actually minimize any impact on things like their back or their neck, to minimize strains and reduce stress on what that's like. One of the key features that we use as kind of a low stress piece of equipment for both the pet and for the doctor is how many of our exams we know are done on the floor, right?
Right.
So we actually have these thick pads that are designed for a pet to get on them, almost like a piece of furniture. So it's kind of less stressful for them to be sitting on something cushioned. But the ancillary benefit is it's much easier on the knees. And, you know, after 37 years, getting up and down off the floor has been tough for me. So these mats just create a whole different way to really do what's best for the animal in a place that they're kind of comfortable, but protect your knees and make it easier on the team to kind of get up and down.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think of, you know, lift tables and all those different things that you can have to kind of accommodate, because we're all different heights. And I agree. I do most of my exams on the floor, and it's nice just to have some padding or, you know, some sort of a substrate that's good for both the dogs specifically, and then also for people. And then also, you know, you think of the schedule throughout the day. It's pretty crazy. And sometimes you try to walk into the day realizing, okay, we're not going to have a runaway schedule. We're not going to do it. So, you know, talk to me about, in your many years of experience, what does that look like now when we're talking about, you know, trying to minimize compassion fatigue and workflow efficiencies? Yeah. What does that look like to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very, very important. And when I had my own practice, you know, we would see appointments every 15 minutes and double book and things like that. But really, when we started Heart and Paw, we wanted to embrace that low stress handling, as well as kind of minimize stress for our teams. And part of that takes time. You know, it takes time to kind of work with the team to really understand and be patient with the pet, not just take them, grab them, put them up on the table, start doing things to them, but really to kind of let them warm up to the experience. Other features, like simple things like our scales, are kind of recessed into the ground so that a pet doesn't actually have to jump up or be put up on that scale. So which when that happens right from the start, they're a little bit stressed, they're a little bit unnerved. So little things like that make the whole experience start off much easier. To deliver low stress handling, it does take time. So our schedules really reflect that. And, you know, the newer doctors, the younger doctors, they're just so wonderful about kind of owning that client education and really wanting to have the time with their pet. So our schedules are flexible. Typically, you know, the shortest time block we have is a 30-minute appointment, which most of our providers are able to kind of deliver that low stress experience where the pet actually is comfortable and at ease. But sometimes it takes longer, and with some pets it takes longer. So there's always the flexibility to kind of increase that. And, you know, I think that's really kind of critical. You know, I well-being is kind of goes hand in hand with low stress from my perspective. And one of the most important things we can provide our doctors is autonomy, kind of control over what their day looks like, what their week looks like, what their career looks like. And I think ultimately that kind of helps minimize the stress in practicing what you know is a very, very challenging career.
Right. Yeah. And even throughout the day, you know, I've always encouraged my employees to take some time to stretch and mindful meditation. Like if you just got out of a really bad, you know, end of life care and emotional, so you just need a few minutes to decompress. It's nice to pump the brakes and allow those team members to do that. I know that you got your team does that, which is really important. And, you know, I think stretching and yoga, are those some initiatives that you have as well within your organization?
Yeah, we did. You know, right at the pandemic in the January, after about a year in, we realized the wear and tear that was just so, you know, plaguing everyone. So yeah. We actually partnered with a wellness app where it provides daily meditation, and it's free to all of our team members, but stretching routines, exercise, and they could be short 6-minute sessions that sitting at a desk, you know, you can do kind of shoulder rolls and neck exercises that make a very important difference in how they're doing it. But actually giving our doctors and our teams personal space to go, to walk away from the quiet and the, you know, all the stimuli that could be around them, and to have that little space just to kind of give yourself a little bit of a reset.
Right. I do think that's one thing that I found a takeaway from the pandemic and from quarantine is like understanding each other's boundaries within the workforce. And whether that be someone that needs to just sit in their car, listen to the music or listen to like a podcast to decompress, come back in so they can be the best person forward for the patients and the team. I think that's really important. I love that you kind of incorporate that within your practice. So all right, so that's wonderful. So the team-based approach to making sure that we minimize stress as best as we can. We talk about the pets. Talk to me a little bit about the pet parents and how important is, you know, I think a big word that we're hearing a lot more in veterinary medicine is transparency with our pet parents. So what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of our core values at Heart and Paw. But to me, it's really letting the pet parent have a glimpse at what we're doing. So often, you know, in my long kind of career in the medicine, so much was done in the back, right? And kind of taken away. Yeah. A client would drop a pet off, you know, maybe 8 hours, pick up a pet that wasn't that different, but not really witness what we were really doing. I always use the analogy, I have five kids. I never would have left the building with one of them under anesthesia and felt comfortable. But we do that all the time in veterinary medicine. So our approach was, what if we don't do that? What if we provide a place where the client's willing and comfortable waiting, it's Wi-Fi enabled so they could work. And at the end of maybe a procedure, I want to offer them the chance to come out. You know, I could tell them, look, the mouth's wet, there's blood where I took a tooth out, she's whimpering, but if you're up for it, come on back and recover. And the reason I want that is twofold. One, if the animal smells their owner, is pet by their owner, is talked to by their owner, it is less stressful on that pet. But the other thing is, I want that client to see that we are delivering healthcare to a member of their family.
Right.
And the equipment that we're using to monitor, the cleanliness, the attention that goes into nursing through recovery, I want them to see that so they'll have confidence and have trust in that team of veterinary care providers. And I think that ultimately lets them feel much more comfortable as we make recommendations and as we partner with them to deliver great care for their pets.
I absolutely love this. I really do. This is the newer normal of veterinary medicine to our listeners that are tuning in. Just from me being on social media and chatting with TikTok on parents, and I'm telling, they want to be a part of the entire journey. They really, really do. And when you just show their transparency, what to expect and what to anticipate, so that way they're not like, hey, doc, oh, the jaw is chattering, or they're whimpering, or are they in pain? If you educate them, they're going to be perfectly fine. And the other thing that I love what you just mentioned is the fact that they really see value to what you're doing. And I'm assuming that that must really deliver over when they're being invoiced out. They could say, I know what patient monitoring and recovering means now, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's part of that transparency. And it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't, right. You know, but this is the way we try to reimagine the whole experience. In some of our locations, we have other services like grooming and daycare, and the same windows there, so you can actually see what your pet is experiencing.
Right.
You know, we can do grooming and a session where the animal never has to be in a cage. Right, you can watch it. Wait, it's hand dried, kind of comes out without ever being in a cage. And right. And I think that gives the client comfort and knows that, you know, they're watching the whole experience.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, from the experience to low stress handling, watching them, full transparency, it really leads up to some of the greatest technology that has happened over the past several years. In fact, I think COVID has really ramped up a speed. If it did anything, it really increased some of the things in veterinary medicine that have been long overdue. So I know that at your facilities, you have, obviously you have inventory, but you also have doggy daycare. So what does technology look like in your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think we really have to keep up with technology. And, you know, we're not going to be cutting edge, but we want to be leading edge in a lot of ways. And I think to kind of manage the client expectations, which actually, you know, things like online booking tools and having a practice management system, all of our locations on one practice management system, that we are able to communicate in real time through texts or, you know, emails with what the client wants to make happen is really important. I think that gives them more of that confidence, and there's not kind of there's that trust and comfort with them. But even with our veterinarians, how do we lean in on technologies? And, you know, I always believe that stress, sometimes if you're by yourself, right, you want to get things perfect. And how do we leverage technology, like maybe some of the AI radiology interpretation? Yeah. So if you're taking films, you know, you've got that second eye, so to speak, to give you confidence. I think when we don't have things like that, we internalize it and create stress because we want to do perfectly by our patients and by our clients. And little leveraging technology to make things like that give the provider peace of mind, I think, is really important.
Yeah, the provider piece of mind is good. Yeah, you did mention that. I want to share with the listeners, we had some guests on the show previously. We were talking about artificial intelligence is huge right now. So telecytology, virtual care, artificial intelligence in the radiology space are really, really big right now. And to the newer graduates, I think it gives them that little extra peace of mind along with the mentorship that they're being provided. So yeah, I think that's really great. So I just want to touch upon, like, with Heart and Paw. So it grew from 10 to 23 locations covering 9 states from Tennessee to Rhode Island, with 9 current locations in the Philadelphia region. That's where Heart and Paw is based. And it sounds like you're anticipating on doubling those locations by the end of this year and next year?
Well, this year, probably not so much. We're up to 28 locations in 10 states. And, you know, we're kind of really excited by these new hospitals and kind of being in areas and centers, you know, where millennials, Gen Zs are kind of flocking to and creating a whole different experience. And we're always kind of evolving. And we, you know, that's one of the things that excites me and kind of led me to start, you know, kind of be a startup or something and look at things differently. So we're always kind of trying to imagine, you know, what's that next big thing out there? And some of these new hospitals and looking at even co-ownership with doctors, how do we kind of keep the profession growing and healthy and happy and successful? So I tend not to, people will say, what's your number? What's your goal? And my answer is always for veterinarians to be happy, healthy, and successful.
I love
that. Whether that's 28 locations, whether that's 56 locations, I don't know what that'll look like.
Right.
But that's kind of where we see ourselves growing, measured, and really just creating experience. Because I really believe until we get back to the days where 40% of us are not leaving the profession, or we actually want our children, our nieces, nephews following in our footsteps, we're going to still struggle as a profession.
Right. Well, I want to know if you have a secret to this. So you mentioned to the listeners one more time that Dr. Melillo has five children. Okay. So two grandchildren, you have a 10-year-old rescue, Pancho, and you're the chief veterinary officer to all these wonderful hospitals. You know, it sounds incredible. So how do you manage it? What are some pieces of advice you can give to those listeners out there on how you manage your time?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think love what you do, even though you don't always love what you do, but just generally, you know, find purpose in what you're doing. And I've had changes in my career. I owned my own practice for many years. I actually left with some compassion fatigue, you know, in 1999. Did some startups elsewhere, spent time in a large corporate practice for many years, but just finding that purpose within you and keep that kind of as your guiding post. And the other thing is surround yourself with people that you trust, yeah, that can support you, that you can lean on, because nobody does the things like this or successfully practices by themselves. And one of the things I've learned probably later in life than I see some of the newer generation is really to ask for help when you need it and to reach out and raise your hand and say, you know, I marvel at my children. They're better at that and they're teaching me how to be better at that.
So. Yeah. I love it. Well, great information. Well said. And where can we find more information about Heart and Paw?
Yeah. So you can find it on our website, which is www.heartandpaw, all the words spelled out. So heartandpaw.com.
And if you're from the East Coast, like you and I are, we say heartandpaw.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Dr. Melillo, thank you so much for all the work you've done in this profession, all the work you're continuing to do in this glorious field of vet med. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Christman.
My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this Pawsome podcast. It always helps us out. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay Pawsome.